T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. Fantastic final hour for you. We have Truth Serum coming up at 3:20. The top three at 3 momentarily. Manny Robinson of the Greenville News with some breaking news. Look, folks, there's breaking news, and then there's this, which wouldn't be classified as breaking news, but to me it is, regarding the Gamecocks program. A check on Twitter where Donovan Johnson tweets into the show, at Don Torino, Don Torintino, and he says, "What I can't seem to understand is why Cap can't even get a break to make a practice squad." Yeah, well, he merits that. But again,
he's had offers, he just hasn't taken them, according to what we've heard.
Well, the Seahawks offered him their backup job and said no more kneeling, and he said no. And he wasn't able to have a job. If you won't meet the terms of service, even if you don't agree with the terms of service, you have to honor them. You have to honor them. There are rules and guidelines at every single job I've had to me that make no sense. Lonzo, what's one of them for you here?
I have no rules and guidelines here that I don't like, because I love my job and I'm working on my 20th year. So either I'm real easy or there's nothing here. You know what? There is one: no food in or drink in the studio. And I'm glad that I abide by that every single day.
Yeah, I'm glad that I abide by that, too. Pay no attention to the Chipotle and the glass of water. That's right by
me. I don't see nothing.
Yeah, I don't see anything here either. Not at all.
Hey, you can wear what you want here within reason, although the other side of the building, sometimes they don't wear anything. Luckily, you haven't been over there during that time.
By the way, did you hear that that South Carolina's Wikipedia page, they changed the offensive coordinator to Helen Keller?
That's funny. No offense to blind people, because we have blind folks out there who listen.
Okay,
so,
yeah. Way to cover your tracks, Lonzo. Look, I mean, is that funny or is that offensive? South Carolina's offensive coordinator is Helen Keller.
I think the answer to that question is yes.
Yes, both. All right, it is time for the top three at three, presented by Moe's Southwest Grill, with 12 locations to serve you throughout the upstate of South Carolina. And don't forget about Moe Monday, where on Mondays you get a burrito, chips and salsa and a drink, all for $6.99. I got the nachos from Moe's last night. The top three at three starts right now. That noise you hear interrupting my usual silence is Lonzo throwing a bottle across the studio.
Can't be throwing a bottle because we're not allowed to have those in the studio.
And you know what it's like to feel like you have to sneeze when you're about to talk on the radio? That is the worst feeling in the world.
Let it go.
And
Will has to use that next.
If Will has to use it, I'm definitely sneezing right now. I'm just kidding. Hit it! All right, ladies and gentlemen, how about the story of James Wiseman at Memphis? You see, we did have some breaking news on the show today, and that is that Chase Young of Ohio State will be suspended for one more game for the Buckeyes, but then we'll be back against Penn State, back against Michigan, back in the Big Ten championship game, back in playoff game number one, back in playoff game number two, if necessary. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Ohio State did the right thing. They adhered to what the NCAA wanted them to do, and they benched Chase Young immediately as soon as it was announced that he was ineligible. Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers have done completely the opposite thing. They really have. They've got this center. They've got this center, James Wiseman, and Penny Hardaway paid for his family $11,500 to move. Thus, the NCAA classifies Penny Hardaway as an illegal booster, and therefore James Wiseman is not eligible to play. What is Penny Hardaway doing? He's playing him. I've never seen anything like this, ladies and gentlemen. James Wiseman, in a loss last night to Oregon, James Wiseman had 14 points, 12 rebounds, and a block to one of the most inspiring freshmen in the country, and he's ineligible to play. And Memphis continues to play him anyway, as if to thumb their nose, as if to give the bird to the NCAA. You see what happens when you play nice with the NCAA. They only keep Chase Young out for two games. Ohio State was going to win 151-0 anyway. But when you thumb your nose at the NCAA, the likes of which we've never seen before, Lonzo, seriously, man, I didn't know that the officials would allow the ball to be tipped with a player that's ineligible. And Memphis continues to play a player that's ineligible. Wouldn't the officials say you're not allowed to play that player? You're not allowed to play that guy. We're not going to tip the ball with you playing him. They're not doing that. This ineligible player keeps playing.
It becomes an exhibition game. And they know right away because that game's not going to count. So, I mean, why penalize everybody else? At least they get a good practice out of it.
Yeah, but they're in the process of ruining their season right now under Penny Hardaway. Next up. The college football playoff rankings were revealed last night. Clemson disrespected less, but in my opinion, still disrespected some. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to be real with you. I am pulling for Clemson. Yes, I am pulling for Clemson. And I'll tell you why. Because I host their postgame show. No, just kidding. I'm pulling for Clemson because they've been crapped on all year long by a national media ignorant and clueless to how good they really are. I'm a fan of the truth being exposed, and now we will get to see that. Clemson, I think they're the best team in America, but they've got them slotted in at number three right now. I also have a major problem with Georgia at four ahead of Alabama. In the head-to-head comparison, Georgia-Alabama, they picked Georgia because of wins over Notre Dame, wins over Florida. Alabama would have beaten both of those teams, hadn't played them. They haven't played them. And Alabama went to Williams-Brice and more than doubled up the Gamecocks, 47-23. Georgia lost at home to the Gamecocks. I see no justification whatsoever for having Georgia ahead of Alabama. Also surprised that Baylor is still 13th. Do the Baylor Bears control their own destiny, or is the schedule too weak? A couple of different takes on the college football playoff. First, here's Pete Futek.
Yeah, it's fine. You can't really argue it too much based on what's happened so far. I would actually sort of make the argument, though. I know Alabama hasn't beaten anybody, but if you thought Alabama was number three last week, then and you lost to the team that's now your be-all, end-all number one, then it probably should be number four. But there's really no argument against it. I you know those horror movies or whatever when you get the character that goes out and says, "You don't understand, it's still alive. You don't get it. It's not over yet." I feel like that's been me for the last 72 hours when it comes to Alabama. It's like, really, America, you don't get how this works? Like, I'm old enough to remember 2017 where Alabama was dead and it's out of it, you know, and then what happened? Wisconsin couldn't finish off a drive in the Big Ten championship and Bama gets in and wins the national title. 2012. Johnny Football goes in, Texas A&M beats Alabama late in the season. It's over. It's done. Alabama's number four in the BCS ranking. And then what happens? They move on up, blow out Notre Dame. Year before, of all programs that should know this, LSU goes into Alabama, wins 9-6. It's over. You can't get into the BCS championship if you don't win your own division. Alabama does, rocks and rolls over LSU, wins the national title.
We move on to Reese Davis of ESPN, who had the college football playoff show last night. Here's Reese.
If you bear with me, understanding the chaos is coming, if there's one spot left, how complicated is the battle for that one spot?
Very. I said the same thing in the open to our ranking show, that three are all but locked away, and everybody's fighting for one, maybe up to eight teams. I think the most compelling scenario is, what would you do with a two-loss SEC champion, Georgia? If Georgia were to lose to Auburn or A&M, yet beat LSU in the championship game. Ooh. I think that's the one that's most compelling to me. Otherwise, you just have to evaluate how teams play and who do you think's best.
And the fact that Alabama sits there at five, not dinged much for that loss to the team with the best resume right now, and that's LSU. I'll flip it back to you. In that scenario, Georgia beats LSU, but they've got two losses, and Alabama's sitting there with the one. Well, how would they view that?
I don't know. That playoff predictor thing that our stats people do say that I would give Alabama like a 72% chance and just Georgia a 17% chance. But I'm of the opinion, Scott, that Alabama cannot get into the top four by anything they do. They have to hope everybody else hands it to them. Mm-hmm. There's not a win big enough at Auburn. So I think for them to hold and move up one spot, the other teams surrounding them and behind them really have to mess up and leave them as the only choice.
The words of Reese Davis, not sure I agree with that. I think Alabama, I wouldn't say they're in prime position, but I think there is one wild card spot in the playoff rankings. That is spot number four. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson look to be locks. Fascinating rankings revealed last night. And finally, folks, in my life covering sports, I have never seen or heard the following statement. We will evaluate at the end of the year. I've never heard that statement said about a coach that was going to be kept. We have, I mean, this is the earth-shattering news of the day. Robert Caslin, as said to Manny Robinson of the Greenville News, who will join us at 3:40 this afternoon, quote, Robert Caslin's the new president at South Carolina. Quote, Coach Muschamp is my coach. That's the message. He will be my coach through the end of the season, Caslin told the Greenville News. And then, just like any other coach that's out there, whether it's a soccer coach, whether it's the equestrian coach, whatever, they're going to do an end-of-year assessment. The athletic director does. Then we'll see what's up. Then we'll see. I am highlighting in my brain the words, we'll see. We'll see is the most the greatest lack of a vote of confidence that Will Muschamp could ever have at this particular stage. Again, you've heard my theory. When a school announces that a coach is coming back, that means in my experience that he has one more year on the job. Okay? When a president says, we'll see, we'll evaluate it after the season, I have never in my life heard that used if a coach wasn't going to be fired. Ray Tanner, it's very clear he wants to keep Will Muschamp. But Robert Caslin's a military man. He doesn't stick around for no BS. And if you saw the body language of Robert Caslin on the sideline on Saturday against Appalachian State, he did the flabbergasted, and you kept seeing looks like that, expressions like that in the Appalachian State game. I feel like they've seen enough. Folks, this is the watershed moment, if you're a Gamecock fan, that perhaps you have been waiting for. This is the moment that I believe the school is admitting to you that Will Muschamp will not be brought back. The question is, have the Gamecocks given Will Muschamp enough time? Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just start your text with ESPN in the potty, and then you can send your message. Do invite you to follow us on Twitter. I'd love to have you following us on Twitter, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air, at Lonzo on Word, at ESPN Upstate. And you may email the show, M-A-R-C Ryan, Mark Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Okay, coming up next on the show, it is time to do a little ditty we call Truth Serum that we do each and every week on Wednesday. This is Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go with Truth Serum. We do it each and every week. What is Truth Serum? Truth Serum is a segment in which Lonzo and I present one another with four statements about college football and the NFL, and we and you together collectively have to decide which statement is most likely to be proven true. Which statement will time prove to be correct? Truth Serum starts now. That last part always gets me. I almost start talking and then he has something else to say. All right, here we go. Truth Serum, college football is up first. Lonzo, here we go. South Carolina will stay with Muschamp for next season. Clemson, LSU, or Ohio State will lose a game before the playoff. The odds of that happening, per the FPI, are greater than 50%. Okay? Minnesota will lose to Iowa and will fall from the ranks of the unbeaten. Or Georgia falls to Auburn.
You know what? You're trying to steer me towards the Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State, one of them losing, which very well could happen. But I'm going to go with Georgia losing to Auburn. I think Georgia is a little bit overrated. I think Georgia doesn't deserve to be at number four. And I think Auburn is a lot better than people think.
You're denigrating your team's biggest win of the year by saying that. You know that, right? They're overrated because they lost to who? There you go. Lance, like, what do you want from me? Here's mine. The choices again, South Carolina will retain Muschamp for next season. Clemson, LSU, or Ohio State, one of the three, will lose a game before the playoff. Minnesota falls to Iowa this weekend. Georgia falls to Auburn this weekend. Here's the answer. Here's the right answer. Minnesota loses to Iowa on the road. They haven't beaten Iowa in Kinnick Stadium in 20 years. 20 years. All right? They've buttered up on some patsies, and they've buttered up on the home slate. Let's see what
Speaking
they do.
Speaking of buttering up.
Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do at Kinnick Stadium. I don't think it's going
to
be very
Steve
pretty.
Is Steve listening to this segment? Is that what's going on?
You know, it didn't even occur to me where you were going with that. Yeah. But, yes, it is true that both of our bosses are Iowa Hawkeye fans. They're a little disappointed with the three losses this year, Lonzo. You got to be nice to the bosses, all right? What do you got, Lonzo?
One thing, I don't know about that being nice to the bosses thing. All right. Two Big Ten teams will be in the college football Final Four. Could be Minnesota and Ohio State. Could be. Minnesota wins the Big Ten. Ohio State has one loss, and it's to Minnesota. We've seen it happen with the SEC. You never know. LSU will lose to Georgia in the SEC championship. The ACC will have more bowl wins than any other conference. Chase Young will still have a shot for the Heisman despite the two-game suspension.
What do you say if none of the above are true? You know what's most likely out of all of these, unbelievably, is that LSU loses to Georgia. That's the one that is most likely, and I'll tell you why. LSU is going to know, in the who wants it more department, it's got to be Georgia in that game. Even if LSU wants to be the SEC champion, they know that if they lose, they're still in the playoff. Therefore, you don't want it as much as Georgia does. Georgia has been just short of the championship so many doggone times. I think that one's the most likely of the four.
And you're wrong because it's the ACC.
I can't be wrong.
The ACC will have more bowl wins than any other conference. Here's the thing. The ACC is not good in the regular season, but they're sneaky good in the bowl season because they play a bunch of meaningless bowls, and they're playing people who don't want to be there, and they actually step up to the competition, and they actually win a lot of bowls. And I looked, they have a lot of teams, even though they're not very good, they're bowl eligible.
Yeah, as of right now, the ACC could have as many as 12 teams be bowl eligible. Clemson, Wake Forest, Virginia, North Carolina, Pitt, VT, Miami, Louisville, Florida State, BC, Duke, and NC State. All could be bowl eligible.
And they could be playing MAC teams and MEAC teams and WAC teams and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know. It's so mediocre. All right, to the NFL we go. I will start us out. You ready, Lonzo? Lamar Jackson wins the MVP award. Jason Garrett will be fired after the season as coach of the Cowboys. Kyler Murray, your boy, wins Rookie of the Year. The Carolina Panthers are a playoff team.
All right, the most truthful out of all those would be Lamar Jackson, although he's the flavor of the week right now. If he continues to do what he's doing, I mean, I think he really has a shot to be the MVP.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Everybody's talking about him. He's all over the place, and it's a popularity award. Anybody who wins the MVP in the NFL, they're good. They're really good, so it doesn't really matter. It just comes down to who's the most popular at the end.
I think Russell Wilson has the MVP on lockdown. Lockdown right now. Lamar Jackson, you're right. He's winning the popularity contest. He's going to be on the cover of Madden next year. All right?
Watch your legs, man.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. There's a few on this list that are likely. I think that Jerry Jones, the only reason Garrett still has a job is because Garrett allows Jerry Jones to spout off about whatever he wants. And Jerry Jones has the biggest ego in the room. After all, they play in Jerry Jones' ego stadium. Realize that he doesn't want to be proven wrong here. He wants to look like the smartest guy in the room at his hire. And it's time to admit the truth. It's time to admit that Jason Garrett's not the guy. He is the face of mediocrity. Talk to our boss, Mark Hendricks, about Jason Garrett sometime.
No,
I absolutely hate him.
I will be in there for a while. I don't want to do that.
Absolutely hates him. Can't stand his ass. And I don't think he's going to be the head coach moving forward. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, Colin Kaepernick will start for an NFL team this year. The Raiders will win the AFC West. After a horrible start, the Steelers will make the playoffs. And finally, history will be made when more field goals and extra points will be missed this year than ever in the annals of time.
Do you know, and we're having Booger McFarland
yes,
on the show tomorrow.
I know. I set the whole thing up so you could do that.
Yes, the annals of history.
Yes.
I think I'm going to drop that in tomorrow during the interview. What do you think? Should I drop that
in? I am trying to get you to. That's why I put that in there, to put it in your head.
See, here's the thing, though. I don't want him to.
You don't want to make him mad.
I don't want to make him mad. You don't. It was always kind of a guessing game. I did tell you this, and this is just a secret between me and Lonzo, so you guys listening right now, tune out your ears, okay? Shh. Tune out your ears, because this didn't really happen. We were doing a pick segment, Wise Guys Wisdom, Lonzo, and I called it Picking Boogers. And Booger actually texted me that he wasn't down with the name Picking Boogers for the game, for picking our games. So I did what a good co-host would do. I still ran with it. No, I'm just kidding. I took it away. He didn't like that, though. I think he would be okay with this, but we'll see.
I knew I connected with that.
Yeah, there you go. The one time on the show in Tampa, Booger said the annals of history as opposed to the annals of history. And we had a ton of fun with that.
So do you remember any of the ones that I read so you can pick which one that you think is true?
Kaepernick starts. The Raiders win the AFC West. The Steelers will make a playoff game. And there will be more extra points or
field goals missed
this year than any year.
Yes.
It seems to me like you have some data behind that or else you wouldn't be saying it. But I'm still going to go with the Steelers making the playoffs. They've got the Minkah Fitzpatrick, Juju Smith-Schuster going right now. I was going to say the Juju, but it just fits to say the whole guy's name. Four wins in a row. They are looking like the Steelers again. That now at 5-4, I like their schedule the rest of the way. I think the Steelers have a great shot.
By the way, I have no stats behind the kickers. It just seems like they've missed a whole lot more. You're absolutely right. The Steelers will make the playoffs.
I agree. I completely agree. That is Truth Serum for today, ladies and gentlemen. Where did we hit? Where did we miss on our Truth Serum this afternoon at 1-844-477-3776? That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. On this Colin Kaepernick story, he's got the workout scheduled. He's got the workout coming up. Would you want your team working out Colin Kaepernick right now? Here is Adam Schefter on the Kaepernick workout.
You know, he's wanted to come back for quite some time, and the fact that the NFL issued this announcement tells you that we've got a situation here that the league was on board with this and that it gave it its blessing. And maybe it's a sign that its stance is softening, but Colin Kaepernick, who turned 32 years old last week, will be working out for teams here.
There you go. And then Stephen A. Smith, Colin Kaepernick, could find a home here real soon.
All he has to do is shut up, show up Saturday, and play, and show them that he can still ball. If he does those two things, I'm told he will have a job in the National Football League next week. But if he doesn't do those two things, if he instead runs his mouth, whether it be on Twitter, Instagram, or something else, or he shows up and plays like straight garbage, then obviously he won't have a job. So it's in his hands right now.
There you go. The words on Colin Kaepernick. Stephen A. Smith chiming in right there. What should become of Colin Kaepernick? Listen, I'm a believer in his ability. I'm not a believer in his diet. And nobody talks about that. I think the diet is a much bigger issue than the kneeling thing. I really do. But on the kneeling front, with any backup quarterback, they don't want you to be a distraction. That's why Tim Tebow doesn't have a job. They don't want you to be a distraction. If you are more of a distraction than your talent it merits in the eyes of the NFL, you don't get a job. And that is the case for one, Colin Kaepernick. Let's get to Chase, who is up first here on the show. Chase wants to chime in on the Truth Serum. Thanks for the call, Chase. What's up, bud?
I agree 100% with what you just said about Colin Kaepernick. If he can just do his job, he'll go out there, he'll show out on Saturday and keep his mouth shut, no social media, no talk about political this or political that, I think he has a job next week.
I totally agree with that, but the problem is he hasn't done that in the past, right?
No,
I
that's mean, just, the thing. Will he do it?
And that's, I mean, like, I, you know, at some point, Chase, and this is where you get into hot water, this is one of those things that I could say on the show, but I wouldn't say on social media because of what would happen to me if I did. At some point, you need to honor, you need to put aside your causes, and you need to worry about being employed. If he really wants to be an NFL quarterback, look, man, I respect that you have the right in this country to stand up for your causes. But the NFL has a right not to employ you, right?
Exactly.
So stop doing that.
And the thing is, with other players, you see them using their platform to get their political views across, but they're not doing it by going against the anthem. They're not doing it by showing out on social media and in the media, because them being employed and bettering their career and getting a paycheck week to week needs to be at the forefront of their mind, because at the end of the day, the NFL is still your boss. That's your employer.
That's 100% right.
Political views, you know, I'm not saying make them take a back seat. Your views are your views. They're absolutely important. But you're there to do one thing. That's play a game, do your job, and don't use the NFL as leverage to get your views and your point across when it may not be someone else's views or point of view.
Chase, thank you very much for the phone call. Do appreciate that. Let's get to Keegan, who's up next. You know, I had a job, a previous job where I was doing national radio sales for a different radio company, and I had to stand up between 9:30 a.m. and 11, and then I had to stand up between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. every single day. I could say that is against your rights to make me do that, and I could also choose not to be employed by that company. Look, Colin Kaepernick has the right, but at some point, you have to respect what the NFL wants you to do if you want to work there. What's up, Keegan?
Hey, how's it going?
Always good to hear from you, buddy.
Just wanted to talk a minute about Colin Kaepernick.
Sure.
What I've heard so far, everybody's talking about how he would make a great backup for any team, but I really think he is going to end up getting signed for like a 2 or 3 year deal for one of these teams that has a backup as their starter this year, so that these young quarterbacks can learn under him, learn from him, get that 2-3 year contract out of the way, get their young guy learned up, and then have their young guy take the spot, because Jameis isn't really doing well for the Buccaneers. You see what's going on with the Panthers, and we don't know if we're going to keep Cam or not. Then you have Gardner Minshew at the Jaguars. There are so many young quarterbacks that need a teacher, and I think Colin Kaepernick would be really good to get in on a team and help teach because he is 32. He's towards the end of his age career, so I just think he'd be really a good fit for any team with one of these young quarterbacks right now.
Keegan, thanks so much for the call. I think you make great points. Let's get to Neil Pappas, who's up next. Neil, got a couple minutes for you, bud. Go ahead.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, did you hear the email we got about you earlier today?
No, I didn't hear anything.
I got to share this with you, man. Brian Winters, I read this earlier in the day. Brian Winters sent the show an email. Do you know Brian Winters? You know who that is?
No, I do not.
He says, is there any way you can get Neil to make a few picks on the pros as well? Don't know if you noticed, but dude would have been 5-0 on his picks from the show had TCU not gone into three overtimes. And the one-week suspension thing hurts us listeners for not getting more of his picks. Your show is funny AF, bro. I still don't know what AF means. About time they got something good to listen to on the radio in this area. Great job. Neil, I'm telling you, the platform that you have here on Offsides, you're growing some fans, man. I'm just telling you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. We're going to talk about that tomorrow or Friday.
There you go.
Makes me feel good.
Good.
You kind of threw me off, Mark.
Yeah.
Couple of things I heard you guys talk about that I wanted to talk about. First of all, and I'm going to take all these comments off the air. First one is to Lonzo. I understand that you want to get rid of Muschamp, but my question will be, and I'll take all these off the air. Who are you going to get to replace him? I mean, it's not like there's people knocking on South Carolina's door to come there. First off, second of all, this playoff thing in college, it's going to take care of itself. First of all, LSU is not the best team in college football right now. I hate to say it, because I'm an hour down the street, but Clemson is the best team, and it's not even close to second. They're the only team that can stop the other team's offense from scoring, that can score on the opposing team's defense almost every time they touch the ball. LSU can't stop anyone. Alabama can't stop anyone, and Ohio State is not going to be able to score against Clemson. Third of all, Jason Garrett is not the only problem in Dallas. The quarterback is also the problem. They've got weapons galore. On the third or fourth down, they had Amari Cooper one-on-one against a guy who had gotten burnt the entire night. And instead of throwing it to Amari Cooper one-on-one, the dude throws it to the running back. Problem. And lastly, LSU is going to lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, and there's going to be all kinds of problems then, especially if Georgia loses before that game.
And here's what I say to this. Here's what I say to this. Here's what I say to that, Neil. They should never – Neil, thanks for the phone call there should never be a two-loss team in the playoff. I was hearing the guys on ESPN talk about this, and David Pollack and Joey Galloway and Reese Davis all agreed. It is nuts to have a two-loss team in the playoff. I don't care. You know, Georgia, if Georgia loses two regular season games, you don't put them in the playoff. Are you kidding me? You want to just denigrate the entire college football playoff? That's a joke, man. Now, one time LSU with two losses made the national championship game, but that was a year when chaos reigned supreme. I don't think it's going to be like that this year. I don't think Georgia deserves to be in there now. They've got the worst loss out of anybody. Stop with this Georgia nonsense, man. Please, everybody. All right, let's get to 5 good minutes with Manny Robinson. Boy, the earth-shattering quote today coming out of Columbia, it actually came out of Greenville last night as South Carolina's president, Robert Caslin, visited the Greenville News. Manny Robinson next here on Offsides. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will keep this short and sweet, and we greatly appreciate him joining us. You know, you come to a new market, and you have your chance to meet new media members, and nobody in our area has impressed me more, both in person and with his work, than one Manny Robinson of the Greenville News. He is a father, husband, storyteller, documentary filmmaker, and a hell of a college football reporter. Joins us right now. Manny, always appreciate the time. In the few minutes that we have here, just want to run through a few things with you. I was shocked at the quote that you got from Robert Caslin yesterday. This is the first non-committal answer we've gotten from South Carolina on Muschamp. And in my life, I've never heard a "we'll see" be met with keeping the coach for next season. Great work getting that quote yesterday.
Thank you for having me and the kind words. But this would not require any tooth pulling at all. I just asked the question. He is not a guy that cares much about the PR of it, and I respect that.
Me too.
He wanted to tell the truth, and he wasn't trying. I mean, he was trying to be as supportive as possible without giving me any BS. And so I appreciated that. And you know, the conversation he got animated, very passionate about the program and about what he envisions and what he expects. And he'll have to, I think he's the kind of person too, who will give, Muschamp a chance to lay out his vision and to see if it aligns with what he has in mind.
Do you think, Manny, has South Carolina given Will Muschamp enough time? We saw Florida State fire a 4-5 coach in year two. Columbia, South Carolina has kept a 4-5 coach up until this point through year four. Have they given him enough time to make a final determination?
I believe so. I think 4 years, I mean, that's a basically recruiting cycle. I guess you could say 5 years. You get your first recruiting class in there, and they become seniors. So you could say that. But I think it's what you've seen out of the program. Has it progressed steadily? And not just in win-loss record, but is there visible movement, toward a established goal? And I don't know if Muschamp has shown that. I don't really know what the identity of this team is.
Exactly.
What's the brand? I think that everything else about the situation mirrors Clemson in 2010. I think 2010. Yeah, 2010. Except that Dabo had this. I mean, he had this zero focus, this established brand strategy, and this all-in campaign. And it drew jokes then. It seemed corny then, but now we see the results of it. And that took Terry Don Phillips, the athletic director at the time, to stand by his decision and see that vision and look beyond the win-loss record and beyond all of the donors that were, screaming and clamoring for a new coach and that type of thing. And as Dabo said, I think last week, he was a lot cheaper to get rid of at that time than Muschamp is right now.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. That $18 million buyout, whatever it is, whenever they decide or what to do or what not to do, that will play the biggest factor in this decision.
So it's interesting with Will Muschamp, as we close on this, Manny, just a quick interview with you today and appreciate your time. When Will Muschamp was the coach of Florida, it got to the point where I was rooting for my team to lose, and I'm a Florida graduate.
Oh.
And I've actually got my producer, Lonzo, a South Carolina fan, to admit that he has reached the same point this week, that he is rooting for his team, the Gamecocks, to lose so they can move on from Will Muschamp. So my question to you, Manny, is quite simply, is that okay? Is it okay to get to a point where you're seeing the big picture clearly enough to want your team to lose? Is that ever acceptable?
Well, you know what they call that in the pros?
Tanking.
they call that tanking. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's become a standard. So, and I've never been one to tell people to dictate people's fanhood. So if that's how you feel, that's the strategy you want to use, that's fine. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. And even as a Wake Forest grad and now a fan over the last 3 years, last year the 63-3 to Clemson. But you saw progress, and you still had a belief in Dave Clawson. So that, I think that's what the fans want. They want something to hang on to and to believe in, to have a identity. There's nothing there. Right now you have the Georgia win, but then that's mitigated by a loss to App State. And App State is a great program. I got a lot of feedback today about writing the word embarrassing on that loss. And I think South Carolina fans should be embarrassed by that loss. Regardless of the caliber of program that Appalachian State is, it's in the Sun Belt. It has no business coming into an SEC stadium with the difference in resources and all of that, and winning, and not just winning the game. It wasn't, they controlled the game.
100%. Yeah, that was the worst part about it, is that App State was clearly the better of the two teams. Manny, always great. Always great to have you on, my friend. I look forward to seeing you at a Clemson game here real soon. All right?
All right. Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Manny Robinson, the Greenville News. Best thing we heard today coming your way next. ESPN Upstate. The best thing we heard today has everything to do with our very favorite coach.
We have a, what we call Tell the Truth Monday, so we start the 24-hour rule really on Sunday, but we extend it to after Monday, so that's 48 hours. That's Cajun for you, you know what I mean? Anyway, but after we watch the film on Monday, it's on to Ole Miss. Obviously, things will linger. Obviously, you have to... The days and age of social media.
Yeah.
We have to turn off the Twitter machine. We have to focus on the task at hand. But I do believe in the leadership of our football team. I do believe in the maturity. And like Joe said, that wasn't our destination. That wasn't our final goal, was beating Alabama. We have bigger goals in mind.
Did you hear he said in the locker room, "Roll Tide, what bleep you," to Alabama? How about that, huh? What do you think, folks? Should we do a Sounds Like Ed Ogeron contest here on the show with you, the listeners? I think that'd be a good idea. Straight Up with Sturge, Will Pelagic in, coming your way next, right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.